This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 26, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. Economists don't have solutions. Economists offer trade-offs. In the struggle between the defiantly anti-mask wearers and those who want a national mask mandate with some teeth, some important considerations are being forgotten. Tom Fiery is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute and managing editor of Regulation Magazine. We discussed masks, mandates, and trade-offs last week.
When the notion of wearing a mask in public, and not specifically in public, indoors, in mixed company, became the advice, and it quickly became a culture war issue, I thought, well, look, if the state is going to mandate this sort of thing, give businesses three options. Masks required, masks optional, masks prohibited. And if you want to have your culture war, you go right ahead, but you have to tell your customers up front that this is the policy, and whatever the policy is, we're going to enforce it. And you're working on a paper that basically details, you know, another element of this, and that is the fact that there are inherent trade-offs in mandates. There are inherent trade-offs in for individuals, individual businesses, and individual people that are not immediately obvious right now. So detail that for us.
That's a great point. You know, your intuition, why can't we give places options? And just as long as they tell people before they come in what the option is, we can sort into the places we want to go. In fact, if people visit cato.org and Google my name, they'll find that I've argued something similar for smoking, tobacco use policy. But I think COVID is significantly different. For one thing, it is a community spread disease that can kill and that can do so, and you can contract it, you know, very easily, you know, simply by being exposed, you know, maybe before you realize that the danger is in the room. So
yeah, you're spreading it when you don't know you have it.
Exactly. People don't know. And you don't know if other people have it. And like you said, people themselves don't know if they have it. You walk into a restaurant, it says, you know, masks optional or masks prohibited. You know, you're taking a risk. But suppose you walk into one that says, you know, masks required. But you walk in and you see someone's being careless. You know, they've got the nose out. They keep pulling it down. You know, some people seem to enjoy almost walking in and creating confrontations, even if it's private property. And, you know, once you're exposed, it's too late. So, you know, that was one thought I had as I thought through this. A second one as I thought through this is, you know, we libertarians are about the market. And I mean the market in the rich sense, you know, the Greek sense, you know, that it's not just where we buy and sell, but where we do all sorts of community activities. It's where we come together as different people to exchange. And right now, even voluntarily, the market is taking a beating. People have simply pulled back their economic activity because they're afraid of this disease. They're afraid of their own economics. And, you know, so they're saving money. And because of that, our market is suffering and will continue to suffer until we get this disease much more under control. So, you know, as I worked on my paper, I thought about two kind of exemplars and tried to think, where does COVID fit with this? And one was the tobacco products in private property. The other was blackouts during World War I and World War II, where you're turning your lights off pretty much to protect your neighbor more than yourself, because bombing at that time was never precise enough to hit the light. It hit everyone around the light. And it just struck me that this seems to be much more a case of the blackouts in World War I and World War II, where we're trying to protect the whole community and we need community action. And then there's one other bit of this answer, is simply wearing the mask itself is really not, it doesn't strike me as a very high cost thing. You know, we're required to wear all sorts of other articles of clothing that, you know, are relatively uncontroversial.
Shirts,
you know,
shoes.
Right. You know, and I'm not about to go, you know, walking through someone's food at McDonald's with my shoes on or off, but I'm required nonetheless to wear them. And no one considers that controversial. So why would, hey, put this cotton mask over your face to protect others from whether you have the disease. And now we're finding more and more evidence that the mask actually even protects the wearer moderately well. So it seems like a very low cost for a very high benefit. Namely, we get our market and our society and our freedom back.
What are some of the trade-offs here that we, you know, because you mentioned this is a problem that if not everyone is doing it, and so that's a collective action problem. And even if we accept the notion that there may not be a role for the state here, informed consumers being able to make choices is as important as ever.
Right. You know, before we can dive into anything, we have to recognize, you know, the big policy matter, which is that this is a classic negative externality. You know, even we libertarians recognize negative externalities. And for those of you who might be new to the terminology, an externality is either a cost or a benefit to some sort of an activity that gets foisted on someone who didn't voluntarily agree to it. So if I say, take my garbage and throw it over my fence and into my neighbor's yard, I've basically foisted a negative externality on my neighbor. COVID is a negative externality. I can, even unknowingly, again, people seem to be most contagious before they even realize they have the disease. I can, you know, foist a potentially deadly disease and certainly a harmful disease on someone else without their agreeing to the danger, without them maybe even knowing it and without me even knowing it. So we have to balance our costs and benefits and try to reduce this negative externality. And we know the problems with masks. They're uncomfortable. You have to purchase one. You have to clean them perpetually, you know, for them to stay, stay comfortable. And then there's, you know, the basic thing that we libertarians, and I think human nature in general, we just don't like people telling us what to do. And I think that's actually a fairly healthy, intuition to always be kind of skeptical when someone tells us what to do. But in this case, it seems to be a good time to push back against us because the benefits are so much larger and the costs seem to be very small.
So, actuaries and economists tally up costs and benefits from some particular mandate, when you have somebody like Joe Biden saying governors should be requiring people to wear masks outdoors, well, that might change people's behavior if they feel that they could be credibly caught and fined or something like that. And there is at least some evidence that vitamin D might be particularly helpful in fighting or at least allowing the individual systems in our bodies to fight COVID-19. And maybe wearing a mask outside tells people, well, I think I'll just stay inside. And if you tallied all that up, there might be some costs there that we're not easily able to perceive.
That's right. And one of the, you know, what we want are solutions. The trendy term right now is keyhole solutions. That is policy solutions or even private decisions that very tightly focus in on the problem, but don't have a lot side costs that we could avoid otherwise. So we could say, okay, everyone, you know, to fight this thing, we could lock down the entire city. I'm not proposing that, but someone could. Well, there would be an enormous amount of costs to that. Would you rather do that or just say, hey, while you're out, try to stay a couple meters away from someone else and wear a cloth mask? Well, that's a lot lower cost to just simply do that. And in exchange for that, you get a number of benefits back, like simply being out, going to the store, enjoying sunlight, getting the vitamin D that might help us, better fight this off. So again, you know, it's, you know, libertarians stand on principles. God knows, I make many principled stands, but at some point there's also decisions you have to make pragmatically, that is weighing costs and benefits. And usually libertarians are especially good at that. We really do think through costs and benefits. You know, we do recognize things like negative externalities, and we try to find keyhole solutions to address them. And in this case, I think simply just saying, wear a mask and, socially distance will be extremely effective in fighting this this battle. In fact, to give people a sense of what my broader paper, which, should be out here in a few weeks, is about, is it's about looking at what limited government can do to fight COVID-19 versus, all the other things that people have been calling for that are not limited government to fight COVID-19. And it points out that actually the limited government tools are extremely effective and low cost, whereas a lot of these other things that we have been hearing, or at least we heard back in March and April and May, proved to not be so effective and to be very high cost.
On the one hand, you have people like Joe Biden running for president, and it should be noted is in the prime risk category for a fatality from this illness. And then you have governors like Brian Kemp and Doug Ducey of Georgia and Arizona, respectively, actually prohibiting local communities from setting their own rules, which as a governor, certain cities exist at the pleasure of states. They have that authority. But how do you evaluate those decisions?
Those decisions are baffling. Now, you are correct, spot on. In fact, it's an important point here in the United States that local governments exist, under the charity of the state. It's just the way state constitutions are set up, that states grant power to the local governments. But as libertarians, we are believers in subsidiarity. That is the idea that government policies are best that are implemented as close to the public as they can be, because that way, if it's a local government, they can be more responsive to what the local people want, and they can also tailor their policies to what the local people want. Whereas the further up the power structure you go to state level, to federal level, you lose such local control, such direct input from the public. So it was really puzzling to see Ducey and Kemp make these decisions and take away the ability to make these decisions on the local level, where the public could very clearly tell the local politicians what they want. And that's important, especially in this, because the United States is so varied. We have very rural areas, very urban areas. We have all sorts of different activities that different people engage in different places. So you could tailor things. You could say, okay, if you're out in the rural area and you're going jogging, you're not on sidewalks that are busy and cramped, there's no problem about wearing a mask. Whereas say if you're in New York City and the sidewalks are packed, at least maybe at certain times of the day, you may be wanting to require face masks, just simply when you're out on the sidewalk. Or, one of the examples that came up that people laughed at, but it was just utterly perplexing, is prohibiting face masks for people who are on boats. Now, I don't know about you. I can't imagine how, if I'm in a boat, I'm going to catch something from another guy in the boat, even if we're right up alongside each other, that's still a pretty big distance. But yet there were states, state of Maryland, Larry Hogan is a fairly pragmatic and practical thinker, and yet for a while that was part of the order in Maryland.
Tom Fiery is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute and managing editor of Regulation Magazine. We spoke last week. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you please, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.